The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
I'm Josh Peck.
And I'm Ben Soffer.
And we're the good guys. There's a lot of guys out there.
And we're the good ones.
Yeah, we all know each other.
Who else is on it? Hemsworth, Naomi Watts.
I've met all three Hemsworths, but we're not mates. Luke? But I've met Luke. I've met them all.
Lucky. Now that's someone I'd like to meet.
Luke's all right, man. Yeah. Luke's a nice guy.
The undercover Hemsworth.
Yeah, Luke's up for a good time.
Is Luke the one that was dating or married to Miley Cyrus?
No, that's the non-entertainment guy.
Luke's the short. We started. Is this the podcast?
Yeah, let's do it.
Fine.
I'll intro you after our Hemsworth contingent.
But no, I've met them at different functions, Australian-y type things. There's like these Australians in Hollywood functions where Australian actors get together and they all go on about the struggle and, you know, how...
Oh, it's like us as Jews.
Yeah.
We do it too.
Yeah, you know, like coming over here and I only had a few connections and, you know, and it's like, you're really fucking good looking, man. You know, there's no Australian comedian support group out there, you know, and all the actors, they give out awards and they tell stories about the, and I remember it was raining and Heath Ledger, just all the workers were grabbing cameras to bring him in from the rain and Heath went out and helped. And I looked at him and said, "What are you doing, Heath? Get back to your trailer." And he goes, "No, we're an actor. That's what we do." And I thought, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Wow.
But it, like, there's an Australian actor voice. So they all go to NIDA, the National Institute of Dramatic Art, right?
Yeah.
And you're an actor.
Tell me, this is great.
You're an actor, you know. And I try to give it a go myself when I can, right? You know, we're all a bunch of performers. We're pretty light on our feet group of people when it comes down to it, right? But then the Australian actors are all like, yeah, how you going? Oh, I'm big, tough, sort of. There's an Australian actor voice that's deep in the register that no one really speaks like except for Australian actors. So I'm watching Extraction with my wife and it was Father's Day it came out. And so it's just John Wick but with an Australian, right? Just
being, yeah, Hemsworth.
And Hemsworth comes in, he goes, "I'm here to extract somebody, you know, I've got to do this and I've got to do that," right? "And I'm going to blah, da, 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 da." And my wife... I leave the room, I go to the bathroom, I come back, my wife's sitting next to her friend and she turns to her and she says this exact sentence. She goes, "The Australian accent has never done it for me before, but on him." Right? And I was like this, "Oh, so you want me to talk like this, do you?" And then we laughed and moved on with our day. Cut to me being in bed that night, me and my wife about to have sex. My wife asked me to do the Chris Hemsworth voice.
And how'd it go?
I fucked my wife like this the entire time. Like, there you go. Here we go. We're going to have a go now. Like that. Afterwards.
My wife always just tells me to be quiet.
Yeah, well, of course.
Shut up, will you, Josh?
If you could do the voice. She never wants me to
talk.
You got to
learn the Chris Hemsworth.
She never wants me to talk with a Jim Jefferies voice.
Yeah, I sound like a 12-year-old with emphysema anyway. So she's like, "Can you just keep it to yourself?"
So after we have sex, she says to me, she goes, "If you can talk like that, why don't you talk like that all the time?"
Oh, good point.
And I know this, like, sometimes when you hear someone who's impersonated, they can, sorry, a female impersonator the other day did a very good Marilyn Monroe, like a spot on one, not like the happy birthday, Mr. President one, but the talking voice. And you do as a man go, "Oh, yeah, that is a fun voice to hear."
Yeah,
you know,
lovely,
what I mean?
Lovely. Yeah, yeah.
But then why don't you do it all the time?
The Hemsworth, well, really quick, we have the great Jim Jefferies here.
Thank you, brilliant comedian.
So lucky to have you. Thank you for coming
Thanks
on.
Thanks for having me, man.
I played Chris Hemsworth's brother in a movie.
No.
that was my reaction.
Was it a remake of Rain Man? Was it a stage production?
Oh, it's so good. Yes.
I met Chris once. I met Liam a couple of times. Yeah. And both of them super. I met Luke once. I met Luke once at the premiere for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And he was just like, he had a few drinks in him and his tie was a little bit off kilt. Right? But he was still like, "This is awesome, eh? Hollywood."
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Because they're from Phillip Island.
I talked about this on a podcast just recently. This is so weird. Phillip Island has these things called fairy penguins, right? It's so weird. This is like just last week. Why would I ever bring this up? Okay, so fairy penguins, and people think I'm saying fairy, right?
Sure.
And they're penguins that are a little bit bigger than a Star Wars action figure.
What are we talking? Let's do the scale here. Tell me when to start.
I might be out. Someone Google this, but as I remember them as a child,
I
want to say they're 4 inches. Maybe. Maybe a Star Wars figure is like 3 inches.
Will you Google that?
A fairy penguin. And they only exist in
Dreams.
Phillip Island.
Yes.
And they come out at sunset and they waddle up to the beach and there's bleachers there and people from all over the world come and sit. They only come to this island to look at this thing, and they sit there on the bleachers and there they are, little tiny figure, little tiny, the smallest penguins you've ever seen. Adorable.
Let's see, 36 to 43 centimeters, so 13 to 15 inches.
Oh, okay, so they're a lot bigger. When I was a kid, I remember them being like this.
So about a foot.
But they're little itty bitty fellas, yes. Right? Anyway, so they wander out, they waddle out, they come out, the sun's setting, they come out, and everyone just, ooh, ah. And there's always sort of like a park ranger-y type person who stands on the beach and goes, all right, boys and girls, they're about to come out. Here they come. Now you'll notice, this one's got a baby in its belly. Oh, no, they probably have fucking eggs. What am I talking about, babies and bellies? They're fucking eggs. They're penguins.
They're marsupials.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I met Liam and I said to him, I said, oh, where are you from? And he goes, I'm from Phillip Island. And he goes, I used to do the job of narrating the penguins coming out of the water. And he goes, Chris had the job before it, and he gave it to me, right? Because you know how you have a paper round, you can pass it on to your brother or something like that, right?
He looks like it should be like Morgan Freeman coming out, like 85, now coming out of the water.
But can you imagine those three brothers living on this little island that's a very small population? It must have, when they left, it must have been like that scene out of Don Juan DeMarco where Johnny Depp's on the boat and all the women are crying. And they're all just waving. Like, I reckon there must have been women who went and saw the fairy penguins several times because Luke was presenting them.
I just couldn't believe when I worked with Chris, and this is like, he hadn't even done Thor yet.
Right.
So he was still a civilian. Like, he was still of the humankind, not a god. And he was so handsome.
Yeah.
And so nice.
He is like, stupidly handsome.
And you meet like these handsome movie stars, and then you go, oh, you're a squeak. You're 5'6".
Yeah.
I could throw you in the ceiling.
No, he's like 6'2", right?
He's 6'4".
Okay, even bigger.
Sculpted.
Mm.
And just like effortlessly, like he's a dude. And I wonder, what do you think, Jim? And I want to hear what you think, Ben, as well. I feel like the renaissance or like the great sort of decade and a half of the Australian male actor with the voice was sort of like
It started with Mel Gibson.
But what had become on trend, I feel like, was a bit more of like a feminized metro American actor. And like Cowboys came from the outback.
Okay, so I had a sitcom back in the day called Legit. And Carrie Fisher did an episode of the sitcom where she played a casting agent. And I took the dialogue that I wrote for her was directly from a conversation that I had with a casting person when I was doing some generals when I first got to America.
Yeah.
And she was just like this. She was like, you're Australian? I like that. They're real men. She goes, these British guys, they come over, their hands are failing around like this. Russell Brand, the women seem to like him. I don't get it. Right. I don't get it. That's what like she was saying. She goes, and she was a Jewish lady, and she goes, Mel Gibson. I know he said some horrible things, but in his day, oy vey.
Clip it. You know what? One thing you could say about us Jews, we are forgiving. Sorry, go for it, Ben.
Yes.
Go, Ben. Now,
Josh, didn't we get a speak pipe recently that said that there were 5 times the women to men in Australia?
We did, yeah. And her name was Pita. Pita.
Pita.
But it can be a female name too.
No, Pita, P-E-T-A is the girl's name. God. I got an uncle who had he must have wanted He must have wanted sons, but he had four daughters. Uh-huh. And they've all got like boys' names.
Rick.
Peter. Peter, Tony, Marty, and Gina. So Gina's not, but Peter, Tony, and Marty.
Interesting.
And yeah, I like unisex names. I got a little boy called Charlie, and
Marty's not that unisex. Charlie's unisex. Marty's mean.
This
is my daughter, Marty.
It's short for Marvin.
That's tough.
My daughter, Marvin.
I still hang out with Marty. Marty comes to me shows. If you listen to this, Marty, I think your name's lovely.
I love it too.
We all need luggage, right? We've all been there where you're trying to fit everything into your luggage for your trip. And you're just like, why don't I ever invest in good luggage? Or why do I overpay for luggage that just does not hold up? But that's where Base comes in, okay? There's always going to be room for everything, whether it's an extra pair of shoes or 15 pairs of underwear. I don't know how you roll. But look, Base was created by actress Shay Mitchell, a friend. I love her. I've hung out with her before. Good people. But that does not influence how much I love Base, just because I know she's nice. Look, she wanted to make sleek and affordable bags, luggage and accessories designed to help you travel effortlessly. And when I tell you it's effortless, it's effortless. It's also like good looking. It's made well. For me, what I want out of my luggage is something that like doesn't stick out, but is just an old workhorse. I also, though, you know, I just want it to look sleek and like timeless. And that's what Base is. Look, every piece is made to look better with miles, so you don't have to worry about it in cargo or overhead. And Base has over 30,000 five-star reviews. Their luggage comes in multiple sizes and colors, so you will be totally covered. And their shorter trips, the Weekender bag is super functional. I have one, love it. So right now, Base is offering our listeners 15% off your first purchase by visiting basetravel.com/goodguys. Go to basetravel.com/goodguys for 15% off your first purchase. That's BEIS travel.com/goodguys.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
In the New York Post, there's a new weight loss pill that helps shed weight twice as fast as Ozempic. The new weight loss pill made by Novo Nordisk, shout out, the manufacturer of Ozempic and Wegovy, helps patients shed weight twice as fast as the blockbuster injections the company recently announced.
Yeah, but the problem with the injections is once you stop, you're going to get it back.
But maybe, never stop.
Yeah, but you don't have to ever stop. Josh, did you watch Oprah's doc last night?
Which doc?
Did you watch Oprah's special last night on Ozempic on ABC?
I know you told me to, but say more.
Was Oprah pro or against?
Very, very pro. Oh, very pro.
Was she?
Very pro. And I can tell you, I am somebody that's been on it. I've lost 70 pounds and I can vouch for how great it is. But Oprah was very, very pro. Like a couple weeks ago, she gave all of her shares and Weight Watchers away so she could do this special and talk about it. And anything that says that you're losing weight twice as fast, though, Josh, as Ozempic, you can't lose weight faster. Like that is something crazy. Novo Nordisk, though, they're the company. Like if they're selling it. Yeah. I mean, they're the creators of Ozempic, I think, and Mounjaro.
How safe is it?
I think it's as safe as anything. It's very safe.
It's probably safer than being morbidly obese.
Sure. That's really what they were talking about. Like there's, of course, risks in taking anything, but are the risks worse than diabetes, heart attacks, high blood pressure, like the pros and cons? And then it seems, based on all the studies that they've done over the last 20 years for diabetics, that the drug is safe to take forever.
Yeah.
And so the idea like, oh, you'll gain it back when you go off it. Yeah, you'll also become crazy again when you go off of whatever pills you're taking for mental illness, or you'll get your ADD back when you stop taking Vyvanse or AD, or you know what I mean?
But don't, like, but do you keep losing weight if you're on it forever?
Yeah.
And then he became a void of space.
Right.
Like he went out to, then he became
black a star.
Black mass.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like you have to like.
You would need to taper off to a point where you're not losing weight. You're just maintaining.
All right. Well, so I'll be straight up with you. I tried it for a month. I didn't enjoy it because I see how it works, right? And I see how I could have fought through it. But I'm all right with fasting and stuff. But I did it for a month. But I've given up smoking. I've given up alcohol. I've given up drugs. One of my favorite things in the world is to get high and smash food, man.
Yeah.
Just really just smash it. And then when I was on Ozempic for that month, I wasn't enjoying food.
Interesting.
And I was like, I like enjoying food. I'd rather deny myself the enjoyment and then when I have it, enjoy it rather than like, oh, don't even feel like eating. And then when I do eat, I'm not that into it. But maybe you fight through that. Maybe if you keep taking
You do fight through it. You can ask Josh. I love food.
Right.
Love food.
Yeah,
it's an experience. It's the best. It's everything.
I think food is life. Like that, going to restaurants and having a good meal, especially as you get older and you give up nightclubbing or whatever, you know, like I couldn't give a fuck about ever going to a strip club again in my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But a real experience, like if I can fucking take two edibles and like go to like my favorite Chinese restaurant or my favorite whatever restaurant, or even like go fast food or go Michelin star food, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like two types of food, right? I like fast food and high-end food. I don't want to eat Applebee's and shit in the middle, Olive Garden. There's this shit in the middle that's nothing food.
Right. No fast casual.
Fast food? What's your Chinese food order?
In Australia, it's different from what it is in America. But in America, I am partial to that walnut shrimp.
It's gorgeous.
Where they just batter a shrimp, cover it in like mayonnaise, and then fucking add walnuts on it.
And sugar. And sweet. Yeah.
That like they call them honey prawns in Australia, but they don't have the walnut. That's a great one. But there is a Chinese restaurant. The one in Vancouver is better than the one in Vegas, and the one in Vegas is phenomenal. And there's one in Hong Kong, and I think there's about 10 of them. Mott 32.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Din Tai Fung.
Din Tai Fung's good.
Nice
and
time.
I've been to the original Din Tai Fung in Thailand, and you watch them. I love a dumpling, but the best dumplings I've ever had, Vancouver Mott 32. Google Vancouver Mott 32.
Wow.
That fucking, and I just had it in Vegas, and if you get the duck, you got to order the duck 24 hours before, and then they just cut the skin off and keep it all crisp and cut that into little slots like so you can just eat the skin.
And do you do the pancakes?
Yeah, they make the pancakes in-house and that stuff. Mott 32 is my Chinese, like, that's my mic drop Chinese restaurant.
Marshall, you want to give up your veganism hearing us talk like this?
Well, my wife's a vegan, but she's a vegan. She'll probably get angry at me for saying this because she tries to sell herself as a full, but she's a vegan pescatarian. So she really is anti-dairy. She doesn't eat cheese. She doesn't eat milk. Doesn't eat milk because she believes that they take the calves away from the mother and all that. And since she has told me about it, I do get it. I do. And also, I, as much as possible, try to buy grass-fed beef, free-range chicken, all that type of stuff when I can. Because, you know, obviously, I'm still having fucking In-N-Out.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like you can't do it forever. Because if you've ever driven down those roads where those fucking corn-fed cows live, that's the fucking killing field. It's all, there's no grass. It's just dirt and they're on dust and they're just, it
oh,
just,
yeah. It's hellish.
So I believe in a food chain. I believe that we're higher than certain people and there's certain animals that are higher than us if they get the fucking opportunity. There's a lion that would eat me right away if it could, right?
Right.
I believe that there's a food chain, but I don't believe that our food chain should involve cruelty to animals and leaving pigs in fucking tight. I don't eat pork.
Interesting.
I gave up pork and I love dumplings and every fucking dumpling is pork. The pigs are too smart.
The places they're held is too small.
Yeah.
It's too much.
They're too smart. If they leave them to fucking, and I know it would make it exorbitantly more expensive to buy, but if they had just pigs that were wandering around in fucking fields who lived their life and then at an appropriate age were slaughtered in a humane way that we could, I would eat them, but they're left in these little fucking cages where they can't move, and they're pounded to get morbidly. There's no Ozempic for the pig, man.
Oh, and one thing I know for sure, wild boars are dickheads. They're,
by the way, because they know.
Well, also, they know.
They've heard war. They've heard war stories. They've heard war stories, and they're taking it out.
They've
on
infested
us.
America. Well, they're an invasive species.
There's very few animals on Earth that have no problems with humans. If animals could talk to each other, the one thing they would all agree on is stay away from them.
Right.
Yeah. They'd look at humans and go, look, I've met a few nice ones, but for the most part, just don't go near those.
Yes.
Right? Now, there's very few animals that have no fear of human. The best one is, and this animal's a belter, right? I would have I'd have 10 of these in my house and clear up off them all day, no problem. The quokka is the best animal on Earth, I've decided.
What is that? Ben, you know a quokka?
I don't know what that is. Okay. No, I don't know what that is.
It's spelled Q-U-A-K-K-A. And they come from an island just off the coast of Perth, Australia, called Rottnest Island, which the Dutch called Ratnest Island because they thought they were large rats.
Hmm.
They're a marsupial in a kangaroo style, but they have like a rat's tail. They're the size of a soccer ball. They have no fear of human beings, and you can take quokka selfies. Google quokka selfie. You'll see Roger Federer. You'll see... And they just sit next to you.
They're
and
cute.
They smile.
Marshall, you like these quokkas?
Yeah, they...
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Oh, they're cute.
Yeah, they're the best. They're
oh
the best.
Oh, my God.
And you go,
how is there not a quokka Pixar movie?
I don't know.
Pitch it. Yeah. Pitch it.
We're done.
Now, the quokka, you go off to Rottnest Island. It's a 40-minute ferry ride from Perth. It's the only place where they... And they're not endangered. There's fucking tons of them on the... You go, people always go, I always take Americans and British people, I go, I'll take you to see the quokkas, right, whenever I'm over there. And they're always like this, are we going to see them? And I'm like, you'll see them. Right? They have to put quokka gates on, like, the supermarket there. It's just a little island, like the convenience store, which are just knee-high little plastic flappy doors. Because otherwise it would just be filled with quokkas just walking around. The quokkas will, while you're eating, will come up and pat you on the leg.
No.
Yeah, oh, they have no fear of humans. And everybody loves, and they live off, you're not meant to feed them because they live off of some root or something that's on that island. Mm. But that's the animal. That's the animal. And you can lay down next to them and take selfies all day and they'll look at the camera and they'll look at themselves in the camera. And that wonderful animal. That's me, wow. Number one animal.
Do you have dogs? Are you a dog guy?
I grew up with dogs, but I don't have, because I travel so much as a comedian, I have cats because it's a more manageable thing as a road comedian to have a pet. And my wife's a cat person. I like cats as well. I like cats. I'm an animal lover. I like animals, but I grew up with dogs. But dogs, man, my father's 82, right? And he bought a dog. He didn't buy a dog. He got a dog from the shelter who was a bit older, who he thought may live, because he doesn't want there to be a dog alive when he dies. Right?
Yep.
Somebody
has to take it.
Yeah, someone else has to take it, and what will happen to the dog? And he wants to make sure that the dog's going to be taken, you know. And so he got a dog who was already like 10 years old, thinking that maybe he only had 10 years left in himself. You know what I mean? The dog lived to be 20, and now my dad's 82, and he's like, yeah, no, I'm too old to start with another one. No, maybe if I got another one, it would probably outlive me, so I won't get another one.
Mm.
And I don't know if there's anything sadder than an old person burying their last pet. And he's had pets his whole life since he was a child. He's always had a dog. But he said, I can't have another one. I won't live long enough to see it through.
Whoa.
And oh, my God, my heart was...
Heart-wrenching.
Ben just said goodbye to his. Yeah. Go for it, Ben.
We did. Our King Charles Cavalier died 3 months ago, terminal cancer at 6.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Crazy, terrible. And we got a new puppy, 13 weeks old, 2 weeks ago.
Mm.
And I got to tell you, those puppies, no joke. You completely forget how hard a puppy is.
Yeah, yeah.
Completely forget their teeth are so sharp,
yeah, yeah.
So sharp, and they bite at your ankles.
Yeah.
I have battle wounds, and you can't do anything because they're just trying to play. You're just trying to play. Battle wounds.
Ben, does this make you want to wait on having kids?
No, I'm pumped. I'm ready. Whenever.
Are you having kids?
The baby's not gonna bite me. The baby's not gonna bite.
Baby 100% will bite you.
My baby's bit the fuck out of me.
They bite. What will happen worse is when the kid's about 3 and it starts preschool, your kid might get bitten, like violently bitten by another child, or even worse than that, your kid might be the fucking biter.
My son just got the shit bitten out of him.
Right?
Yeah.
Did he?
Well, my son also famously, and he talked about it, so I'll talk about it here. He got bit by a famous guy's kid. That's right. John Stamos' son straight up walked up to my kid when he was like a year old. God bless him. He's got the greatest son in the world, Billy. Love him. And just kids being kids. Was like, let me take a little chunk out of Max's cheek. And went, yeah. And
oh, he bit him on the face?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Ah, that's
Billy was 6 months older than Max, so he was like a year and a half.
Then as a parent, you have to go like this. Like, my 11-year-old was a really good traveler for some reason. So we have to have this baby that's just losing it. This kid doesn't like fucking traveling, right? Yeah. So he gets like Matchbox cars and just like Hot Wheels cars. And I'm like, boom, boom. You know, I'm trying to keep him occupied. I turn around, he just gets one of the car, and we're just sitting on the plane, he just throws it 5 rows in front of him. Bang! Cast iron car hits a bloke in the back of the fucking head, right? He turns up and I'm just like, what? Because also, and people look at you like, well, are you going to do something? And you're like, what the fuck do you want me to do?
Right.
And also, as a celebrity, I know I'm a very minor celebrity. I'm not going as a celebrity, but as someone who someone might recognize, what am I going to do? Fucking smack the kid? Like, you know what I mean? So he just sort of go, eh. Anyway, my point is, yes, your kid will fucking bite you.
Yeah.
At what age can you really start to reprimand them? Like, where they understand that they did something wrong?
I think 2, you can start to go, that hurt me. That hurt my feelings. I'm sore now. Why? And like, because they start to get the smallest amount of empathy where they're like,
yeah,
oh, like that. And so like, but like my 2-year-old adorable little fella that he is, he understood when he got an owie, right? His mother would kiss it better, right? And so what he would do is he'd go up and smack his mother and then kiss her, like, to make it better. And she was so starved for kisses from him. She was like, well, up for it. Like, oh, God, he looks like he's going to punch me. Like, she's like an abused wife.
Wow, that's like an entire chapter in the psychology handbook.
She's like, I enjoy the kiss afterwards. Yeah, but don't encourage him to.
No, don't I get that. What I would take for him for a nice smack and kiss from the dad I never met. Hey, the New York Post wrote, the sex positions people are most scared of. A healthy level of physical intimacy is an important foundation in most romantic relationships.
But I have opinions on this.
Physical intimacy can sometimes be daunting for couples, no matter how long they've been together. And like, okay, let's see. They surveyed 1,000 men and women. The scariest sex act is, number one, people said public sex. Number two,
everyone's done that. That's just a bit of fun.
Yeah.
That's a bit of fun. And that adds a bit of excitement to your relationship, lots of stuff. But the reality is that everyone, once you get into a relationship, you start off the relationship with 10, 12 positions trying to show off to each other. And then you both settle into the 3 that you agree on.
You have 3?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I gotta do better.
There's certainly no married people that are having public sex. Maybe, like, that's like a... that's like a first 3 months of the relationship. Let's do something crazy. But then you settle in. Yeah, so that's
you've got him on top, her on top. And then you've got the one that makes her come, the one that makes him come. So 4, really, right? And one of him on top, her on top might be double over into this one. And then there's ones, there's variables that you use every. So it's like, I said this in a standard routine. My favorite position for me personally, and over the years, it used to be doggy, but over the years I've bent over. And now my favorite position is that spooning position where you lay in the spoon position.
Sidesies.
You grab onto a boob and you go hell for leather, right? It's a good position because you feel like you're doing a lot of effort, but you still get a pillow, right? So my dad still got a very big sex drive.
Bless him.
I don't like it. I don't like it because I want mine to go away, right? I went to get one of those. I had a testosterone shot once, right? Where you get low testosterone or whatever. Bill Burr does a routine about like how he, in traffic, he doesn't want to have the fucking, be like a 20-year-old or whatever. I feel the same way about, they go, oh, your sex drive. And I'm like, I don't want my sex drive to go up. I want that thing to go away. That was part of the joy of getting older. Because I thought about sex less. Don't put that back into me. I just want a little bit more energy. I don't want to think about fucking anymore.
Sometimes I do think about that because, like, I'm a sober guy and so gave up drugs and alcohol.
I'm the California sober. I call it high and dry.
Yeah.
Right? So I take edibles. It changed my life, really. It really changed my life.
How so?
Because I was an alcoholic and I took drugs. I don't think I was ever a drug addict, to be honest with you. I loved drugs, but I used to go long spells without them. And then, you know, but if I was partying, I was partying to get wasted. And so I was never even a drinker that woke up, but I still do this. I have no interest in one drink, or people, do you want to go down the bar for one? I have no interest in that. No. I just wanted to get wasted. Just blackout drunk was what I wanted to be, or on coke too much. See, I used to think I was a great drinker. I wasn't. I was just taking cocaine with it.
Sure.
Right? Enough. So everyone was, I was one of the great drinkers, right? I could drink on stage. Like, no, I wasn't. I was also on cocaine.
Right? Sure.
And then I gave up drugs. And then it turned out I was a sloppy ass drunk, like an embarrassing, like I was a lush, right? And it turns out I was probably always like that, but the cocaine was masking it. So I had to give up that, and then giving up that, why the fuck are you smoking? You're not even drunk, so you give up that. And then at the end, it's just, as I said, I take an edible and I eat food, and that's my vice. That's my vice. And then, like, I deny myself. I fast, and then I get high one day a week, and I fucking go to town.
How did you find, because you said you'd have a drink on stage, how did your material and your performance as a comedian change when you stopped?
The best shows I ever did, I was blind drunk, and the worst shows I ever did, I was blind drunk. And I never have a show that really fails now. I used to have shows that failed because I was just on the stage, right? And sometimes there was lovely in the moment things, and no filter, you know, all those wonderful things. But there was shows where I was almost like, you don't understand me, like almost in tears, like getting emotional drunk in front of 3,000 people, like really crazy shit, you know. I don't regret it because it was such a big part of my life. I called my specials after drinking. I had one special called Alcoholicost, and that was because there's nothing to do.
It's a great name.
Other Holocaust.
Great name. It's incredible. Right? Great name.
But I called it that after the fact because I got so drunk during the special. I woke up in the morning, I couldn't remember the special. And then I watched the special back. It's my best special. And I don't remember.
Because you were totally free, or just material?
It had the quality of material. I'd sort of found my voice. Before that, I was sort of, you know, very much just like, this is a good bit. I didn't speak too much about my personal life or any beliefs or anything like that. I told a story about taking a friend with muscular dystrophy to a brothel, which I still think is my best sort of 30 minutes of stand up where it's like, it's honest and it's real and it's all, you know. And I spoke openly for 15 minutes about depression. And I also, whilst drunk, spoke openly. You could see it was a person struggling up there. You could it's kind of beautiful because it's like someone like
honest.
Yeah. I'm having problems. Right. But I still was funny about it. And it was clear that it was a bloke with problems who was just telling the truth. And so the rest of it was all, there was a lot of vibrato about who I was and tough guy comic in a leather jacket or whatever. And that one, I was just a drunk bloke in a flannel shirt having a go. You know, it's my best one.
It's interesting.
Which special was that?
Alcoholicost. It's only online, and I don't know who. Okay. There's someone else who put it. It was on Showtime for 5 minutes. You know, this is back when specials used to air. They'd be on 4 or 5 times, and then they were fucking gone, you know. Netflix was wonderful for stand-up comedy because, you know, I was one of maybe 10 comics who could go overseas and do gigs. And my territories were Australia, Britain, America, Canada, right? And that was everything that I could do. And I was like one of the world comics, you know? And I'd go to Asia and I would do gigs, but it would be all white people who were expats who used to live there. I now tour Asia. I'll go to Japan and I'll play in front of 2,000 Japanese people because they've watched the specials.
Right. They're familiar with
the Netflix specials have happened. And even if their English isn't great, they'll have the subtitles so they can sort of follow along. And then they sort of, you know, so, and now there's tons, there's 30 comics who can do that now and go around the world. And, you know, I just did a big tour and we did Iceland. Like, when the fuck am I, this fucking... How the fuck would anyone know who the fuck I was in Iceland before streamers?
And with the success of that special, when is the follow-up Alka Auschwitz? on the podcast for our final bit, we do something called What Are You Nuts?
Okay.
Our What Are You Nuts moment of the week. It's your gripes with people, places, and things.
You meant to have sections and I just haven't shut up. Is that what's happened?
No, you've been perfect.
No, we've been perfect. Oh. We have one section.
It's I'm good.
It's whatever is currently grinding your gears. We'll go first so that you have a second to think about it. Ben, what do you got?
Yeah, so last night I was invited to play in a basketball game. It was a pickup basketball game, a newish friend. And I play on occasion, like once every 2 months I'll go and play with my friends. This is a group that I've never met before. And I showed up, it was at a high school, 90 minutes. And it's all these guys, mid-30s, early 40s. And I'm playing with this guy and everybody's wearing like normal athletic wear, t-shirts. There's this one guy, 38 years old. Mm. He's wearing a LeBron USA jersey and a Nike headband. And I just knew the second I saw him, I'm like, this guy's going to be a problem. Mm. And he's fouling everyone. If somebody calls a foul on him, he's starting fights. He's yelling. All of a sudden, I'm wearing a purple shirt, like a purple Nike. It's a beautiful shirt. I'll show you guys a picture later.
Athleisure wear.
And I call the foul on him. And he said, if you call a foul on me one more time, this is your first game, you fucking Teletubby, you're out of here. And I looked at him and I said, you're 38 years old, you're wearing a USA jersey, you're wearing a headband, you just called me a Teletubby. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. So I walked out of the game. And all I have to say is there are two What Are You Nutses in this. The first is being over the age of 30 and taking a pickup game this seriously with people that you don't even know. This isn't a league. Yeah. What are you, nuts? This isn't a league. It's not a league game. It's a pickup game in a high school. And the second thing is you have to throw away your jerseys after the age of 25.
So true.
Unless even like you have to throw them away. It's it. Or you can put them in a box and save them for your kids, right? Because Max would love to see an old jersey once he's 11 years old and starts loving the Lakers, right? You can't wear a jersey. You can't wear a jersey to a game. You can't wear a jersey to a sporting event. Jerseys, throw them away. What are you, nuts?
I wear a Dodgers jersey every now and again. Every now and again.
Baseball's different. I actually agree with you. A basketball jersey? Oh, you're not going sleeveless?
I can't wear a basketball
jersey. Crazy.
No, a singlet. No.
A baseball jersey, I'm with you. It could be cool, a t-shirt under it. It's a different story.
Basketball jersey. I have an Australian football jersey for the World Cup. The soccer jersey. Fair. That's me. They're me two jerseys.
Also, I work. What are you, nuts? Basketball jerseys. That's it.
I would never play sport in one of these jerseys. I also have a Cubs jersey. I threw out the first pitch.
That terrifies me.
How'd it go? Google Jim Jeffries first pitch. It's not good.
It's never good.
It's not good.
It's never good.
It's not good.
I won't do it.
It's like I never held a baseball. I was doing the Chicago Comedy Festival. I think like Louis C.K. did the game before and Patrice O'Neill did the game afterwards. Mm. You know what I mean? We're talking 15 years ago, right? And so they want you to throw out the first pitch. Terrifying.
Yeah.
Fucking terrifying. And then Chicago fans, it's the only footage of it is off someone's phone and they're just like this. Go back to Australia. Fuck it. I'm like, you're solid. Like really nasty.
You were like, there were 80 shootings this week here and I should go back to Australia. No problem, Chicago.
I agree with you. The intense bloke who plays sport. Okay, so my son was playing a couple of seasons ago. So he was about nine. He was at a little league. He was playing little league. And there were the pitcher was calling pitches quite low, like this, right? And one of the dad who gets a bit serious, right? And so the dad's like this, come on, that's not a strike. That's a ball, like this, right? And the umpire turns to look at him. Now, my son's the one who's having the dud calls called against him, right? 9 years of age, turns to the umpire and looks at him and goes, he's got some money on the game.
That's pretty good.
That's what I was like. Because a little kid should be like, yeah, that is a strike. No, you know, I like that he was chill and just went, yeah, he's got some money in the game. I'm not worried about that guy becoming an adult because I know he's going to be cool.
I will say it's brave of you, Ben, to wear purple. You shouldn't be called a Teletubby.
Yeah, but does he know how much weight you lost, right?
He doesn't know. You know, the last time I could wear purple, I was nine. Now I get to wear purple and feel good about it.
Did it have a little tiny screen in the stomach?
It didn't.
Oh, then
it
that's
didn't.
Completely
this
unfair.
This is nuts. This is a gorgeous Nike thin thermal purple. I looked unbelievable. The guy was just, and he looked terrible. He wasn't even, I said it was a headband. It was one of those Rafa Nadal tied in the back. The guy looked like such a loser.
You know, when Instagram shows you things and goes, oh, this is happening, that's happening, to make you feel old, the baby who's the son from Teletubbies, you know, there was a baby's face in the sun.
Sure.
That girl just had a baby.
That's upsetting.
Yeah, wow. That makes you feel old.
Well, my what are you nuts is I get massages at the mall.
I love a massage at the mall.
Is it the best?
I don't do a mall massage, but if I'm fucking in transit at an airport.
Me too. Express spa. Express spa. Gorgeous. Fantastic.
No one knows it's you. Your face is in the fucking hole.
It's gorgeous.
You want to kill 30 minutes? I'm normally taking an edible for the flight anyway. I'm in a good mood. Right, I fucking love a massage in a massage chair.
Mall massages I like because you don't know if you wake up Tuesday morning, you got a thing in your neck, you got the backs all from the humping.
Yeah,
it hurts.
The shagger's back.
The shagger's back. But like then if you go to a legit massage place, are they going to have an opening? What time? It's a whole thing. You know there are going to be people at the mall waiting to rub you for 30 to 45 minutes. So I go. Now I've done this before and I know. And I'm laying there. And the woman says to me, and I hear she's giving me a nice massage. She goes into my ear. She goes, "You want feet? You want someone to do your feet?" And now I'm not going to say it in an accent, but it would make the story way better. Anyway, so she goes,
I just do the eyes then. Like, come on, like, what are you talking about? Like, you might have, if you say I'm not going to do the accent, you've already done the accent.
Jim, I would never.
Now we're all doing the accent in our head.
You're welcome.
All right, come on.
Just painting the picture. So she's like, do you want, but I know they're tricks because mall massages, you know, they're cheap. Whatever, it's fine. But then I've had this happen to me before. They go, would you like someone else? So now forehand massage, right? But you don't realize now it's going to be double. Or you want the feet. Well, that's going to be an upcharge. All these upcharges. So you're like,
wait a minute. Now you realize?
Yeah.
You just thought they were doing it out of the kindness of their heart? Of course.
You assume feet are included in a full body massage, but they're not.
I would assume
if you
feet
went
would
to
the
brothel
included.
And paid for a threesome, you'd go, what? Double?
Well. Yeah.
By the way, the four-handed massage.
But I spent the same
the four-handed
time
massage is different. Yeah. The four-handed massage that you have to assume is double because it's double the hands. But the singular person saying, "Would you like your feet done?" I personally assume that's included in the singular full body.
All
massage.
I would say about the four-hand massage is half the work for each masseuse. Anyway, I digress. But yeah, I was like, I don't want it. So now she's punishing me. Okay. She's punishing me. Now, every time she touches fat of mine, my love handles, my thighs, she goes, ugh. She's like, ay.
Oh,
like,
now he does the voice.
And all I have to say is, what are you nuts? I didn't want the upsell. Like, just let me be and don't like make noises when you're grabbing my fat.
Don't make noises when you're grabbing my fat.
A new special.
There's a t-shirt or a bumper bar sticker if ever I've seen one.
Title.
Am I meant to come up with one? This is very short notice.
But it can be small, large.
Something that pisses me off on the regular
In the airport, I'm sure there's a million
things. Or just
things.
Right now.
Okay, in the airport. Let me go through my airport catalog of things that upset me. Well, with airport security, right, I miss... Do you remember how... you ever been to Canada,
mm-hmm.
right? To Canada? They don't talk or anything. So I was in an airport in Canada, right, and it goes a bit slower because they don't have a big, fat, sassy woman yelling at you. I prefer an American woman going, please remove all your things from your tray. If you do not remove your things from your tray. You know how they get into you?
Yes.
I was in Canada
yes.
and they weren't doing that, right? They were just like, next person like this. And then inevitably people had shit in their pockets because they weren't being yelled at. Canadian airports need Americans yelling at them.
They need the whip. I like that. What are you, nuts, Canada?
Yeah.
Yell at your people. Treat them like
and
shit.
They make
US.
You show in America, you show your ticket, your ID, and then you're into the system, right?
Yes.
Now I'm getting off watches and I'm taking off belts and I'm removing shoes and I'm in the machine, right?
Right.
In Canada, they check you after you've taken all your shit off just before you go through the metal detector. So inevitably, there's people that are like, oh, my ticket's in my jacket, and it's going through the machine.
Crazy.
But because they're...
Oh, that's incredibly
just
stupid.
Just move the ticket thing back one.
I was...
Just move it back one.
Or forward one after you've already gotten your stuff. Then putting it in the middle,
Also, let's just say this. What is the point of any of it, right? What's the point of showing your ID... At the airport, right?
There's no purpose.
It's theater. It's not real. It's just theater.
Jim, thank you for coming on the pod. You want to plug anything?
I've got my podcast, the I Don't Know About That podcast. And when's this coming out?
Probably within the next 2 weeks.
Okay, so I won't plug those gigs. I'm about to do some gigs in Australia coming up. I've got an Australian tour coming up in July. If you're listening there. And otherwise, I've just got shows around America. I'm always in Vegas, or I've got some shows coming up. I've got a big show coming up in December in LA, my next LA gig.
So where?
The Ace Theatre.
Oh,
downtown. Set. I only do it like once a year, so that's just been scheduled and it's already on sale for December. So get that. Get your Christmas shopping done quick.
Love it. Love it.
You guys, man, fucking what a joy.
Thank you, man.
There's fun.
Thank you for coming on.
Two ways podcasts can go. They can either be as annoying as fuck or fun. And you guys are fun. I'll do your podcast whenever you want me to do your podcast. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, man.
We appreciate it. And as always, you can listen to the podcast on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. Watch it on Josh's YouTube. Rate it 5 stars. Otherwise, what are you, nuts? Jim Jefferies, thanks for coming.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.